Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, where you get multifamily investing made real. Learn from top players in the real estate investment world as they share their secrets with you and discover proven strategies on apartment investing that actually work. To learn more about Wheelbarrow Profits, visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. Now to your hosts, Jake and Gino.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, how we doing, bro?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is Sterling White, not to be confused with Sterling Sharp. Sterling started in the real estate industry back in 2009 doing construction on commercial projects. He purchased his first single-family home at the age of 23 with no money down. Uh-oh, I can hear the critics already.
Oh, yeah.
Before founding Wholefolio, he and his partner Jacob bought and sold over 100 single-family homes. Wholefolio is a real estate crowdfunding platform that allows anyone to invest in Sterling's portfolios. So, Gino, we're going to get schooled. We're getting our crowdfunding on today. I'm a little nervous. You ready for this?
I like this, Jake. This is what you say. Let's get prepared. Let's learn something new.
Let's learn something new. All right. So, Sterling, welcome to the show.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the world's most interesting podcast.
Ow!
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your background. Dive a little deeper and tell us how you got into real estate.
Yes. Oh, you guys hear that?
Oh. As Ari Gold would say, if this is your first meeting, let's turn that iPhone off.
Oh, I am actually. Did that come through?
That's all good.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, so just a little bit about my background. I did turn the iPhone off. I have always been involved in the whole entrepreneur realm. As a little kid in elementary, I was actually selling Kool-Aid to different kids around the school. And I got into a point in time to really where I scaled that operation, then had a variety of kids coming to me at the end of the school day in which I had them selling the candy for me. And I just took a share of the profits. And then, you know, fast forwarding to about my late teens is when I got started in the construction in real estate. And that's when I was getting my hands dirty in the development of commercial projects. And then that's when I had also met my mentor, who was the developer of apartment buildings here in Indianapolis. And that's when I had actually purchased my first single family home deal with him with no money in the deal, which is what you guys like to talk about. And I think I had met my partner at that same time, Jacob, when we were in that operation of the buying and selling of those turnkey properties.
Did you just say you scaled the Kool-Aid business when you were a kid?
Yes.
That's probably the coolest thing I've ever heard on this show today. I'm sorry. That really just, I love that.
Jake, anyway. The second coolest thing is he's selling the Kool-Aid. He's not drinking it. I can tell he's not drinking Kool-Aid. So he's selling
his
it, my friend.
His workers were drinking the Kool-Aid.
Jake, real quick, why real estate? That's the first question I like to ask everybody. Why did you choose real estate?
The question would be now is why not real estate?
Okay. I love that question. That's my question now because I've been educated. I've been doing it for years. And I just see the vast possibilities as far as tax ramifications, cash flow, appreciation, amortization pay down, velocitization of money. Those are all my reasons. And, you know, lifestyle. What is your reason? Why did you choose real estate?
Well, really one lifestyle. And additionally, is I really like creating as much value for other people as I can. In addition to real estate is a long-term play. My whole business philosophy is doing things not necessary for the short term, but for the long term. And I just feel like real estate is one of those things that is ultimately a great sector to really build long-term wealth. So it just fits in line with what I'm looking to do.
Sterling, can you tell us about that first deal and what you learned on that deal and, you know, all the implications and the struggles you had with it?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know where to start.
Everyone's first one was a roller coaster, I feel like.
Yeah. And so with the first deal, I actually wrote an article recently about not self-managing your own properties, which was one of the but I'll take everyone back to square one. So I had found this deal. I believe it was through direct mail. No, it was actually through another through a networking event. It was another wholesaler, and it was actually a deal that was on probably about a B class type setting. Went out, checked out the property with my mentor, who was transitioning from the multifamily to single family, and went out, vet the deal, did a line by line item budget, and then we the purchase price was $25,000, rehab was about $15,000, so we were going to be $40,000 all in. The ARV on that property was between about $70,000-$80,000, was the fair market. And so when we purchased the deal, instead of me just simply taking a, let's say, a $2,000, $3,000 buy fee, I just asked for equity in the deal. And at the time of closing, we wrote up the contract. And from then on, the rest was history.
So, what'd you learn on that deal?
So the biggest thing I learned on that deal would say, I'd say the mindset thing. So instead of taking, I basically, my mentor had the capital and I had the time. So that was basically the value that I created in that relationship.
Wow, that's awesome. And let's fast forward to now. Can you talk about the crowdfunding platform and your company and how you've gotten into the space?
Yeah, so I had gotten to the space. My partner and I were in the involvement of buying and selling hundreds of turnkey properties. So we really wanted to streamline the process, implement technology, and make it as hands-off for the investor and while creating diversification. So with the Holdfolio model, is we have a portfolio of 10 single family homes that are usually already producing income. Then at that point, that's when we allow outside investors to invest in that portfolio through our platform. And for as little as, let's say, $10,000 or sometimes even $5,000, you're looking to earn between 9 to 11%. And that's cash on cash.
So you make sure it's stable first.
Yes, correct. All the properties are usually between about 80 to 100% occupied.
And how do you find these deals, first of all, to create the value?
Yeah, so we're throwing out probably between 40 to 60 offers on listed properties, as well as, and that's weekly. And we're doing direct mail, which we have seen has been really effective in our market. And we also do signs as well, which that hasn't been too effective as of late.
So let me ask you, when you do 40 to 60, how many on average do you sign? Do you get at least one or two deals out of those 40, between 40 and 60 deals?
Yeah, at least one or two. And what we do is we have a virtual assistant that does help with, of course, drafting up the contract, because a lot of it's just plug and chug. Mm-hmm. And we always put in a contingency because we're looking at these properties online instead of going to physically see all of them. So if an offer does happen to stick, we do have that 7-day inspection period. So in case we go look at the property, rehab turns out to be way more than we anticipated, then we can back out of the deal.
Have you looked into multifamilies, or are you just strictly staying in the single family space?
We are, multifamily is definitely the way to go. We're looking to actually expand into the multifamily sooner rather than later.
How has your investment strategy changed over these last 5 years with the market? I mean, I can see with single families, they've really accelerated, I guess, in value-wise. And I'm sure 5 or 6 years ago, when you were throwing in 40 offers, you're probably getting a lot more bites than you are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd say property values, of course, are starting to go up more. But it's all about, so now in this market, we have a well-established reputation of being able to close. So when it comes to, we're starting to get leads actually through word of mouth. So that's actually helping kind of, I mean, there's plenty of deals and inventory in this market. So we haven't had too much trouble from, you know, when we were formally putting these offers in and getting a higher success rate.
Good for you. So, I mean, I'm getting freaking upset over here. I can't get a deal if my life depended on it today. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, but Sterling, take this into consideration. He just closed in a deal 3 months ago. It was March, and he's like, I can't find another deal. It's not like he closed
it
3 years ago. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's crazy. How does the crowdfunding platform help you? Does it help you raise money, and that money that you raise from that, you go and buy your next deal with it? Is that how it works?
Yes, and that's essentially how we scale. So it's like basically a snowball. So we use our own operating capital to go out and purchase these deals, all cash.
Okay.
And then when we raise the money, we cash ourselves out, retain equity in the deal, and then go purchase more properties.
So then how much equity do you normally retain in these deals?
Between about 20 and 30%.
So you talk about the snowball. That snowball starts really small, and it's got to be very difficult to first start out correct on that snowball.
And, yes.
And, yeah, right. So, I mean, can you go back and tell me from when you first started the crowdfunding platform, how it actually started and how you actually started to raise the money? And then just walk me through the first deal that you flipped and you sold to investors and then cashed out and went to the next one. I'd love to hear that because that's where, you know, people stumble. That's like your first deal in crowdfunding. Can you go over that?
Yeah, so I'd like to tell people for if you think in business, everything's not, your business model is definitely going to change over the course of, you know, the year or years, and you're going to have to take some pivots. So this whole past year felt like it was, well, 2014 when we first started, it felt like a whole startup mode. And we were going through the legalities of the company, making sure we got that down. We go with the premier crowdfunding attorney in our space. And so our first deal when we purchased because we used our own capital, which involved a little bit of family and friends as well. So that was probably a little under $1 million of operating capital that we were working with. And so we went and purchased these 10 single family homes. And that was sporadically through the year of 2015. And we were still stabilizing that portfolio. In October, we had all the properties rented. That's when we put it on our platform. And my partner were thinking, oh, this is going to definitely, it's going to take 5 days for this to fund. It took us a whole, I think, 4 or 5 months. So we were definitely, that was a struggle, but that came with, you know, getting ourselves out there. We weren't very known. So we definitely went through that. And then the second deal that we put together, which was...
Hey, Sterling, let me jump in. I just need a little, little clarity because I'm not so familiar with the, you know, how the crowdfunding works.
Gotcha.
When you say fund, now, are these things completely paid off? Now, was it an infusion of the total value that you needed to extract to pay off the mortgages on these? Or what? Or did you just need to fund the down payments that you infused initially? What were you actually funding at since you already had these things locked up?
Yes. So when we're all cash into these properties, so gotcha. We're in between about $300,000 and $310,000, mm-hmm. and we'll do a raise of about $330,000, $345,000 total.
So these things are cash flowing great because they're paid off.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Jake, what I like about it, the space, he's got 10 single families, and he's diversifying his risk. So it's almost like buying a multifamily because he's got 10. So if one or two are vacant, you still have 8 that are producing cash flow. So I can see the model definitely, you know, definitely working. What size do you want to go to? Your first one was 10 homes. What do you see going to size-wise?
I think that's the cap that we're currently at. Because just simply due to we wanted to make the, what do you call it, more properties in the portfolio, but our turnaround time right now with all of the renovations, because our average rehab of a property is about 10 to 15,000. Mm-hmm. So we're opening up portfolios, turn around about 45, 60 days. So we feel if we throw a couple more properties in there, that'll just, we have more demand right now. So we're really trying to keep it at that 10, if that makes sense.
Oh, good. I have a couple questions. Number one, are you managing these properties, or do you have a management company managing these properties?
Yeah, so we everything we do is vertically integrated, so we do manage the properties.
And construction, you have the construction company also?
Yes, that is correct.
So you're sort of making money on every avenue of this, aren't you? You're funding it out. You're making management fees. You're doing construction fees. This just segues perfectly into my next question. How do you build teams to do this? I mean, you can't just one day wake up and go, I'm going to do this. How have you built your teams to take care of all this work?
Yeah. And so one piece of advice that I would give to everyone is finding people that complement your skills, not finding people that have the same skills as you do. Both of you guys don't want to be hitting the head on the same thing. And when it comes to building teams, we had formerly had relationships when we were in the operations of the buying and selling of those turnkey properties. And then when we transitioned to a hold folio, we took a lot of those contractors, which is a huge part of what we do is the construction. And then when we were with that operation managing over 1,000 properties, we were able to take the knowledge that we had from that and implement it here from ground zero, like having the software like PropertyWare to really have that software to really scale things. And does that properly answer your question?
It does. Yeah, no, it does. Who is the typical investor in your properties in your crowdfund?
Yeah, so I'd say our average investor is someone who has a net worth of probably 1 million plus, and probably the past 2 or 3 years has made 200,000 male generally.
So it seems like they're almost accredited investor type where they're basically know what they're doing and they're just looking for a return on their money.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
It's and all about the women power these days. Why are you hating on the ladies? Can't you get any chicks in these deals or what?
Well, yeah, that too. No discrimination here.
How do you walk me through the whole crowdfunding, how you actually go on there and raise? Do you put this on your platform and how do you get people to actually inbound marketing? How do you get people to come in and look at your deals?
Yeah, so I'm all about the jab, jab, right hook is my philosophy.
I thought I was talking to Gary Vee for a second.
You're killing me. I'm leaving the conversation right now. I'll see you guys.
And creating as much value for people as I can through bigger pockets, becoming a what you would say a key person of influence, and in return creating all this value, then you can essentially go for the ass. So that's one thing. And when it comes to our SEO on our site, we haven't really purposely did it, but for some reason, when people type in non-accredited investments, our site does pop up. So we do get those as well.
That is really cool. Can you answer this question for me? If I wanted to start a crowdfunding platform, where would I start? What are the steps I need to take to start a platform?
The legal. That would be my first initial step.
So legal is, do you need a securities lawyer, someone who deals with securities law, raising capital, or a different kind of lawyer? Where would you start?
Yeah, so we went with, are you familiar with the gentleman Mark Roderick?
No, I'm not. I'll write that
name. Okay. Well, he's the premier, or at least one of the top premier attorneys in crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. So crowdfunding is relatively new. So we wanted to make sure all of our I's and T's were crossed. So that was really the majority of our startup phase, was getting that down. Because when it comes to securities, we don't want to make one mishap, because then that'll just shut down your whole operation. And so that's where I would start.
Can you give me an idea of how much it would cost the average investor to actually start this whole process and get it completed as far as legal goes?
So we just recently did a Reg D offering, in which I think that was between 10 to 15,000 for mm-hmm. that. Okay. And that was for him to draft up all the legal documents, the operating agreement, the investment agreement, as well as the disclosure agreement.
What's up with the 10 to 15,000? It's always 10 to 15,000 with these guys. This is just, it's like, man, it's 10 to 15, maybe 20.
No, that's a good price. That's a good, guys are going into the 20s right now. So that's a really good price. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm impressed. That's a good price. Let me ask you, what is your best real estate investing advice or tip for the listeners?
Go big.
Go big or go home.
Yes.
Can you expand on that? What is go big? Because me and Jake, going big for a single family investor might be buying a fourplex. To Jake, go big is now buying a 500 unit. So, I mean, it's all.
Oh, yeah. Lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by that, I mean, not thinking necessarily small. So for this year, if you wanted to, let's say I want to raise, $500,000. For the portfolios that I bring to market, I would just simply say, just throw that out and just go big and say, I want to raise $5 million for the portfolios that I bring to market. I'm looking to bring between 12 and 15 to the marketplace. So something like that versus, I feel it's better to aim high and miss versus aiming low and hitting on target. That's always been
Sterling is a student of mindset. I'm telling you right now. I like it. Hey, I want to dive in a little bit about, we talked a lot about your end of the crowdfunding, but tell us a little bit about how it works for your investors and maybe walk us through the process. Say I'm listening to the podcast and maybe I just want to invest in with Sterling and invest in what he's doing. Talk about that process from the initial point of contact that the investor has with you and walk us through the process from that initial point of contact to they're investing in the deal and now they're a real estate investor with Sterling.
Awesome. So the first point is to go to our platform, holdfolio.com, create a account, and then you would simply just set up a time to speak with my partner and I, and that's just simply us establishing a relationship with the investor, making sure it's a great fit, because someone who is looking to be in and out in the deal may not be the best partner for us. So that's always what we have to establish. And then once we figure out we are a great fit, we do have portfolios open. So the next step would be, if you decided to move forward, would hit the ready to invest, do your due diligence on the portfolio with the properties, as well as reading over the legal documents. And then when you hit that ready to invest, we'll send over our investment agreement via e-sign for that person to sign. And then once that's completed, just simply to either wire or send over the check to our headquarters.
So
very
fairly
simple.
Yeah, fairly simple. Basically, you'll talk to the person, make sure they're qualified to do it, make sure that the interests are aligned, show them the, and they'll actually see the package of properties they're purchasing, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They'll be able to go through the due diligence on those. And so what kind of returns are we talking, for the folks investing?
Yeah, so just from the cash flow alone, the cash on cash is between 9 to 11%. We do have a hold on each one of these portfolios, so between 3 to 5 years, in which we start exercising various options to exit the portfolio, and that's when your IRR, your returns, would be between 16 to 20%, or refinancing the properties.
I was just about to ask that. Would you refi the property, and would you cash them out, and you hold the portfolio, or would you refi the property, give them part of the refinance proceeds, and let them continue to hold the portfolio?
The second point.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Since these properties are debt free, do you feel that, because I love, one of the things I love about real estate is that I'll put some money into a deal and the tenants are nice enough to pay down that big note for me over a long period of time, buy and hold, obviously. Do you feel that sometimes you're ever missing by not having debt on these, where you could make bigger returns over the long term by having, the group pay down the debt and also get a return on top of that?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And the power of leverage is huge. good debt. And so when we start to move up to multifamily, higher asset classes, that's definitely when we would start to implement using leverage. Gotcha. So that is definitely something that's on the radar.
And it's not meant to be a knock. It's just curious about, you know, there's different strategies at work, without a doubt. So I was just curious on that. So someone out there they want to start investing in the crowdfunding model. What advice do you have for them getting started, and just anything that you can throw out there to help folks if that's the path they want to go down?
Take action. Well, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be with us, but either way, I would just recommend taking action of some form. Of course, do your due diligence, but at some point, you're just going to have to leap in and have faith. And I believe that was
some people may think that's cliche, but I've been interviewed before, and typically, I don't know what else to say but get in the game, make it happen, take action, just do it. Because it seems like a lot of times people don't like hearing that answer when someone says, well, what advice do you have to give? Do it. Go. Start. Now. Go. And it's just, sometimes people are a little, put off by that. But I completely agree with you. You got to get in the game and start making something happen, or you're just going to be on the sidelines thinking theory and reading books. And you got at some point, you just got to do it. So I think that's great, personally.
Boom. Best way to learn.
But don't you think, guys, though, I mean, I think the really very first step is to decide to do it. Before you even take action, you have to be committed to doing it. Because this is, crowdfunding is a big endeavor. It's a big investment before you even start. So the fact that, I guess Sterling's whole life has been about entrepreneurship. There's a lot of listeners on there on the call that maybe aren't entrepreneurs. Maybe they're sitting on the sideline. They're wondering, is it right for me? I think the really very first step before do it, I think, is commit to do it and say, listen, this is what I want to do, and have like an end game, an exit plan of why you're doing it before you do it. Because me and Jake, we've jumped into stuff, we're like, okay, let's do it. But then when we jump in, sometimes we don't think it through. But
that's why you're my partner. I jump in and just do it. You're there to like kind of guide the ship. It's all good, bro.
Like Sterling has the end. He has an end game. I can see the whole end game where he's going to refi, cash it out, and he's still paying his investors. So that's like, that is really powerful that he's got this whole business plan set up. He's got the whole platform set up. So I commend him for that, because that is awesome.
No, it's definitely thought out. And it's bigger than that. But he's basically making the point that at some point you got to get in. Start doing.
Sterling. And kudos to my partner too, Jacob.
Say it again.
I said, and kudos to my partner, Jacob.
Oh, shout out.
The co-founder. Gotta give him some props.
I can tell you're definitely a student of business. So I want to get into a few short answer things here with you. What is your best habit for success?
Waking up in the morning, writing my goals, have my goals in my wallet, look at them consistently throughout the day, and right before I go to sleep, I write my goals down again.
Guy is committed. He's got a thick and big dose of the Gary V and Grant Cardone Kool-Aid going today, but I like
it. Oh, yeah.
What has been the biggest mistake that you've made in the real estate business?
I'd say thinking small.
Pounding the Cardone drum today.
Yes.
What's your favorite book?
I think the one that really... I think I'd have to say the one that I'm actually reading now, which has been really interesting, is a book about an autobiography on Malcolm X.
Gino, wow! You know that one?
Well, I mean, I've seen his story. I mean, he's had a really committed life. I mean, to think about what he went through and his life, and he was always under pressure. He was always, people are always whether they wanted to kill him or they had a lot of pressure in life. And I mean, he lived, I think, an amazing life, a whole transformation. Why is it to you is such a powerful book?
I'd say it really shined the light on, I did not realize how it was for my ancestors that, mm-hmm. and to really see someone come from where he came and then ultimately where his life, how he was able to control his destiny in life, even though his life ended shortly, abruptly, but it was just really, really cool to see from his mind And it was just, it's an awesome book.
Noted. If you're into biographies too, Arnold Schwarzenegger's is awesome, and so is Steve Jobs. Just thrown out there. Those are my two faves.
Nice.
What has been your best deal and why?
So I'd say the best deal was the that first deal that I partnered with my mentor, and that was just really opened the light for me in regards to it's not about the short term, it's all about the long term. Because I could have easily just taken that fee, mm-hmm. but I decided to retain equity. So
got you in the game, got the whole thing started.
Yep, just took action.
What project are you excited about right now?
So right now I am, and this is, does it have to be pertain to real estate?
Nope.
Okay. So in Indianapolis, I do give back with my time as a Big Brother, Big Sister, if you're familiar with that organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I do mentor a... typically, they're troubled kids, and so I mentor that individual as well as I do sit on the main committee. So that's really the project that I'm really looking excited for, is just ultimately creating value and giving back is what I really my main life's philosophy.
And how long have you been doing it?
So it's been about a year and a half now.
That's great. That is awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You just got the clapping going.
Oh, that was me.
You got a gift to get. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, you put it out there and you put out your time and you put out your treasures and you put out your gifts. And, you know, you're affecting whether it's one person or 10 people or 100 people, that effect is just compounded. Because that one child that you affect, he's going to have a family hopefully one day, and he's going to raise his family, you know, hopefully the right way, you know, the way you've been, you know, mentoring him. So I give you kudos. That takes a lot of dedication.
You're about to have me the first time crier on a podcast right now. I'm getting teary eyed now. Just thinking about it.
Gino's all about the family, 6 kids. Here we go.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really powerful. I think it's really, you know, and it's funny because people always write down, they give to charity, they give to this. Anybody can throw money in an envelope, but when you can touch somebody's life and you can be, you know, part of their life, and you can, you know, and it's also by example, because, you know, as we were talking before, you said you lived in a rougher area of the neighborhood and you went to college and you got out and you're doing really well now. So, I mean, I think you have a responsibility, as well as I and Jake do, to be stewards and to show people the right way to do it, and not just by our words but by our actions. So I think it's a testament to you, and it's a testament to, you know, all of us, that we have to, you know, not just do, but we have to do and not just say. So
well said.
How can listeners get a hold of Sterling?
Yeah, so you can keep updated on, I actually do have a Facebook page in which you can reach me directly. And just simply type in, I believe it is Sterling White Fan into your search bar. Or just simply Google search Sterling White Investor and I'll come right up. And then you can just reach me directly on either LinkedIn or Facebook.
And HoldFolio.com?
Yes, and HoldFolio.com. Can't forget about that.
And the Snapchat handle is?
No Snapchat just yet. Thanks. I'm
trying to get some friends out there.
If you're trying to get, if you're a true Gary Vee disciple, you got to get on Snapchat, because Jake's been with Snapchat for the last 2 months. That's all he talks about, is Snapchat and Instagram. So wow.
Totally true. I'm not even gonna lie.
You got you on the Insta. You on the Insta?
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah.
All just right.
Not, I think it's. I don't. It may be too soon for the Snap. It has exploded. So
30 million active users. Just
gosh,
saying. That's a lot of crowdfunding money. So I took a bunch of notes, and I don't know, that first comment about scaling the Kool-Aid operation, I'm still just, I got to figure a way to put that into like an infographic or something. Doing the long term, really hats off to you for, you know, doing value for value on your first deal and saying, look, I want to be in for the long term. Give me the equity. You could have taken that fee and then went out and, you know, blown it on whatever, which most people probably would have done. But you were in it for the long haul. You did the smart thing and you took equity. So really great job there. If anyone's looking to start crowdfunding, I think you said Mark Roderick was the go-to attorney there. So, you know, people always love those little tips. Go big mindset. Yeah, love that.
Huge.
Writing your goals down. I do it every day. I think Gino does it every day. It's super important. Maybe you get a chance to check out the Malcolm X bio. Your first deal got you in the game. And that was, I think, just really important. You bought in. You were bought in for the long term. So really good job there. And the big brother, big sister thing, I mean, you're giving back. Once people start, you know, doing well for themselves and accumulating wealth, it's always, the logical next step to start to give back and be a good contributing member of society. So this is great, man. I really, really appreciate your time today.
Yeah. And again, for your audience, the person that's listening, I know you have it in you. I know it may be hard and you may not think that you have it in you, but you just got to go out there and take action, and the world and the universe will conspire to ultimately what you're looking to achieve.
Sterling bending the universe. I love it.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Alchemist.
All right. Take care.
We trust that you enjoy the Wheelbarrow Profits podcast. Visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. See you next time when Jake and Gino share more of their investing secrets with you.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.